May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. So back long before I considered ordination, I was a youth group leader. And I was a youth group leader in a little tiny church where literally you could have put the entire building into the sanctuary here. And our youth group consisted of like three teenagers, me and the other leader, and three or so teenagers. So we did a lot of fun things that you get to do with small groups. And one of the things we were doing is we were playing around with music and how music speaks to us and speaks to us in worship and how music speaks to us in our lives. So we came up, my fellow leader and I, Pat, we came up with this brilliant idea that we would invite our kids to bring a piece of their favorite music, and we would get together and we would listen to the music, our favorites and their favorites, and we'd talk about what that music meant to us. So since we had this little teeny tiny church and the parish hall was an acoustic nightmare, we opted to do this in the sanctuary. So we came in and we put a boombox, because in those days you still had boomboxes, you still used this funny thing called CDs. And we put this boombox right in front of the altar, because that's where the plug was. And at first it was great. We played a little U2. We played one of Pat's favorite arias from some opera or other. I don't know what it was. And then we put on the first piece from one of our youth group kids. Have you all listened to Eminem? Yes. So we blasted Eminem through the sanctuary, this angry, profanity-filled song right through the sanctuary. And all we could do sitting there is think, thank God this girl's grandmother just dropped her off. When the song ended, there was one of those long moments of silence. And then I said, you know, I'm really glad you brought that song. Because one of the things it reminds me is we get to bring our whole selves into church. Not just the part that we've laundered up and dressed up and made clean, but all of us into church. Our anger and our frustration, our failures and our falling short. God knows all those, and we don't have to leave them at the church door. We can bring them with us into the sanctuary. And we can leave it there. It was the beginning of a really good conversation. It was the beginning of a really good conversation with a couple of teenagers about what it meant to live a Christian life and what church was for. It was not what I had expected to have that day. But it turned out that invitation to bring whatever was on her heart and mind was exactly what she needed. And so God responded in that space, in that silence, as I tried desperately to think, now what do I say? The reading for Advent reminds me a little bit about those kinds of moment. First off, because as of December 1st, after Thanksgiving, you know, we all start the celebration, the preparations for Christmas. And if you have walked into a mall, you know lament is not part of that preparation out there in the real world. I understand why retail stores do not play Advent hymns. But there is, out in our culture and part of the cultural preparation for Christmas, is relentlessly cheerful and upbeat. If you are getting ready for Christmas, you are, by gum, expected to be happy about it. And you also know, if you've been in the mall, that a lot of us aren't actually feeling that. That in fact, the holiday season carries a lot of mixed emotions for many of us. There are, in our own families, in our own places, we carry the realization this may be the first holiday where there is a face missing at the table. And that grief is part of our preparations as well. This is a season when people who struggle all year long become even more keenly aware of what they don't have, because it ceases to be private. The quiet avoidance of the snack food aisle of the supermarket becomes the realization that your children won't have presents under the tree, or the realization that you won't be able to put on the huge turkey dinner that's depicted on the evening news and all the movies that everybody is watching. This is a season that for many of us includes the awareness of what we are missing, and it heightens and deepens the grief of what we have lost. So even as we are excited and getting ready and hanging out our festive greens, there is, in fact, part of us that's ready to lament. And that's what those first two readings, the reading from the prophet Isaiah and the psalm, are about. They are about a people who are remembering the deeds of God and asking, so why don't we have everything we want? Why don't we have everything we need? Why do we keep suffering? Why have you hidden your face from us? The prophet Isaiah asks. The psalmist tells God that he has fed them on the bread of tears, that he has given them bowls of tears to drink. This is not cheerful, happy, getting ready for Christmas stuff. But it is the space of lament, the space of acknowledgement of a world in which we are still seeking after the kingdom of God. Last week, we concluded our church year with the celebration of Christ the King, the coming of the kingdom of God. And in 4 weeks, we will celebrate again the arrival of the King in the form of a child born at Bethlehem. But in this space in between, the church acknowledges our need to lament, our need to recognize that that kingdom has not come in all its fullness, and we are still waiting in a world where there is suffering and struggle, where we have to grieve, where we are still longing for something more. We are longing for God to come down and show his power and his might. Advent, then, is the season where we get to have those mixed feelings. And church is the place where we get to acknowledge them. This is the place where you are allowed to weep with grief. You are allowed to acknowledge your poverty, whether financial or spiritual. You are encouraged to remember that there is, in fact, a hope that has not yet in our lives been completely fulfilled. Advent allows us in the church to be as countercultural as we ever are, acknowledging that out there in the world, we are excited and looking forward to Christmas, but there is also within each of us the seeds of things that need to be acknowledged and named, that we are still waiting for something more. And we know what that hope is. On Christmas Eve, we will once again welcome the child in the manger. We will realize that God's answer was not to tear apart the heavens and come down in might, not come as the Lord God of hosts, but as an infant child who would become part of our lifetime journey, who would share our sufferings, share our frustrations, share our struggle, and then begin the process of redeeming the world in his death and resurrection. Our hope lies in walking with Him. Our hope lies ahead on Christmas Eve. And in the meantime, we can bring our whole selves into church, the part that is grieving, the part that is struggling, and the part that's rejoicing. Amen.